Very happy to be here, and I would like to extend my very warm greetings all of our lamas and monks, nuns from India, to Lama Chambathai, as well as all the Dharma brothers and sisters we have gathered here today. And thank you very much for inviting me here and also welcoming us here in the scheduling center. It is very happy to note that our common love and devotion to Dharma, which brought us together, and also it helps us to enhance our relations, our friendship, and also it bounds us wherever we stay, that through the samayas and through the Dharma, that we, wherever we go, wherever we are. And now we as human beings in our life, there are many different requirements, like place to stay, food to eat, clothes to wear, and so on. But the most important thing is the Dharma practice. Because through the Dharma practice that we can make our mind more calm, more peaceful, and more happier. Because our physical needs, you see, our physical needs, the material things, outside material things can assist us. I mean, if there's a poor place to live, you know, we can make better places. If we are physically sick, we can have medical treatment. If there are very uncomfortable places, we can make, with the material assistance, that it, we can make it more comfortable. So in this way, can solve our physical problems through the outer material developments. But the mind is something very different. And this mental, the unsatisfaction, and also the mind problems, you can't solve through the outer material assistance. As we can see, the people who are very rich, people who have all the facilities, are mentally more unhappier than people who do not have such a kind of material assistance or the material luxuries. And so that kind of mind problems you can solve through another ways, and that is through the assistance of the Dharma, through the way, in another kind of way of thinking. And so in the Dharma, of course, in this world, there are many different religions, and all religions has its own importance, its own roles to play, its own way to help. I don't mean to say that all religions are same, but all religions are relevant, because in certain, because we are all different, all people are different, and all people are, so for all people, one kind of religion is not enough, as we need many different medicines to cure our many different diseases. For certain diseases, the allopathic medicine is more suitable. For certain diseases, Ayurvedic medicine is more suitable. For certain diseases, the naturopathic medicine is more suitable. So like that, for certain people, different kind of religion is more suitable to their problems and so on. But we as a Buddhist, the Buddha who created the enlightenment thought for the sake of all sentient beings, right from the beginning. And then in the meantime, through the accumulation of merit heap and wisdom heap, that eliminated all forms of obscurations, the obscuration of the defilement, and the obscuration of the knowledge, that are completely eliminated, that there does not remain even a single kind of the propensities or anything that is totally eliminated. So that's why that he gained all the heaps, the merit heap and wisdom heap, so that he gained the great kayas, the rupa kaya and the dharma kaya. Dharma kaya, which means the ultimate body, ultimate reality body, and rupa kaya, which means the highest form of the physical forms. And so in this way, then it does not cease the activities. So the Buddha is the one who knows everything, who possesses the omniscient wisdom, and also who possesses the great compassion, and also he possesses the great power. So through his skillful means that he helps the all sentient beings. And through his physical activities, verbal activities, and mental activities. But the most important activity is the verbal activity, through the turning of the wheel of Dharma, or in other words, by giving the instructions, by giving the teachings. Because the way Buddha helped the other sentient being is not just by performing. We are not the ordinary people who are not doing anything, and then the Buddha just appears, and through he performs miracles and saves you from the suffering. This is not possible, because the Buddha said that everything is all the lives that we encounter are product of our own karma. So if we make, if we commit negative deeds, and if we indulge in non-virtuous deeds, and if we do not follow the right path, then even thousand Buddha appears cannot save you. So the best way to save is that Buddha said, now this is the right, he gives us the instructions. He tells us what is the wrong way and what is the right way. So we should not follow the wrong way, and we must follow the right way. And so by giving these instructions, then we follow his instructions. And by following these instructions, then we can accomplish the temporal happiness as well as the permanent, the liberation, and even the ultimate enlightenment. So therefore the Buddha said that you yourself is the savior of you. Nobody can save you, but only we can save ourselves. And so therefore we have to follow the instructions of the Buddha Dharma, Buddhist teachings. And so we must make our efforts to follow in our daily life. Everybody wants happiness. Whether you are Buddhist or non-Buddhist, or whether you are believer or non-believer, or whether whichever race, whichever philosophy, whichever ideology that you follow, the one thing that is common to all is that everybody wish to be free from suffering, and everybody wish to accomplish the happiness. But due to the lack of wisdom and due to ignorance, majority, although the goal is happiness, but creating more and more causes of sufferings. And so the result is that everybody is everybody is caught up in the samsara, which means the circle of existence, like the wheel. The wheel never ends, and it goes on and on. So like that, once we are caught up in the samsara, one is not free from samsara. It goes on. We change our physical body many, many times, but the continuation of the consciousness that goes on from the beginning last time until now, and also if we don't make the efforts, if we are not liberated, if we do not attain the result, then in the future also it goes on in the samsara. So, and as long as we are in the samsara, there's only a suffering, there's no happiness. Samsara as a whole is all sufferings. From the highest heavenly realm to the lowest hell realm, it's all sufferings. When we outwardly and in appearance, there's like a mixture of suffering and happiness. But if we carefully examine, there's no real happiness. It's all sufferings. And so we do not want sufferings. Nobody wants sufferings. So if we do not want sufferings, then we must abstain from the cause of sufferings. For example, when we are sick with a certain disease, it is important to have the right medical treatment. But at the same time, it's more important to abstain from the causes of the sickness, either it is a food or certain behaviors or certain climate or whatever it may be. So these have to. Otherwise, even we have the best treatment, but if we keep having the causes of the sufferings, causes of the illness, then one could never be cured. So similarly, we do not want the sufferings, then we must abstain from the causes of the sufferings. So the cause of the suffering is the defilements. The defilements are arising due to lack of wisdom and due to ignorance, not knowing the reality. The reality is that every sentient beings possess the Buddha nature. Every sentient beings, the true nature of the mind is pure, but we do not realize this, and instead of seeing the true nature of the mind, that we cling as a self. Without on any logical reasons, we cling as a self. So when we cling as a self, then we have attachment to one's own side, and we have anger to others. So in this way, we form the defilements, the three main defilements, which are known like a poison. Three main poisons, the ignorance, desire, and anger. And then from there arises all the other defilements, the negative emotions like jealousy and pride and so on. So when we have these, then we take actions. Usually these defilements that we take actions, physical actions, such as like killing and stealing and so on, and verbal actions like lying and so on, and then mental actions also like hatred. So in this way, then when we take actions, then it is just like planting a seed on the fertile ground, that in due course that it will produce the result. And so therefore, if we do not want the sufferings, it is not just by praying the sufferings will not disappear, by hoping the sufferings will not disappear, but by doing the right conduct, by doing the right things, and that is to abstain from the non-virtuous deeds. Non-virtuous deeds means the deeds that any deeds that were created out of the defilements called the non-virtuous deeds. And these non-virtuous deeds create all our temporal and all forms of the sufferings are created by these non-virtuous deeds. So therefore, we must abstain from the non-virtuous deeds. Even if it is a very tiny non-virtuous, that we must not commit, because the tiny fires can set whole forests into fire. So therefore, even if it is a very tiny non-virtuous deeds, that we must not commit. And then we all want happiness. And if we want happiness, then we must create the cause. Happiness is not created by any outside force. The happiness is created through our own actions, the actions that are not created by the defilements, and actions that are created by positive mind, like loving kindness, compassion, and aspiration, and so on. So that these actions we must try to practice as much as possible, even if it is a very small amount, because as the drops can, accumulation of the drops can create the oceans. So like that we must try to practice. So now to do this, it is not easy, because we are from the beginning last time until now, that we are used to be the defilements. In our daily life, it is very easy to rise anger, it is very easy to rise attachment, it is very easy to rise jealousy, and it is very easy to rise the pride and so on. Yet they are very harmful. We all know that they are very harmful, that they are the cause of all the sufferings. Yet it is very difficult for someone that who is so used with such defilements. It is very difficult to avoid. And on the other hand, the positive mind, like loving kindness, compassion, and enlightenment thoughts, is difficult to rise. Even we try our best, it's difficult to rise. So that what one should do is that we must tame our mind. The Buddha gave innumerable teachings, as well as many masters giving innumerable teachings, different levels of teachings like Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, many different forms of meditations, many different kind of practices. The purpose of giving all this teaching are to tame our mind. So whatever practice we do, either listening to Dharma, or like contemplation on Dharma, or meditation on Dharma, or practices we do, or in group practices, or individual practices, whatever we do, it is very important to check through this practice whether our mind is taming or not, whether it is effective to subdue the mind, to subdue these defilements or not. So if any practice that reduces our defilements is a very great teaching, very great Dharma, and very effective. Even you practice the highest level of teachings, but if it does not go against as antidote to our defilements, then it is not effective. So therefore, to be effective, to be able to carry on these very high teachings and very effectively, it is very important to build the base. So the foundations, like the common foundations, such as like the difficulties of obtaining the precious human life, the impermanent, the cause and effect of the law of karma, and the suffering of samsara, is very, very important. Not only intellectual understanding, but to contemplate and meditate until you have like a real inner feelings. And then plus the uncommon foundations, like taking refuge, creating the enlightenment thought, and Vajrasattva practices, mental offerings, and the Guru Yoga etc. are also very, very important. And these are also not just to count the numbers. Counting the number is I do not consider as important. The important is to be effective, to have a definite science. Until you have a real inner feelings, which changes our mind. If it changes our mind, then it is effective. So until you have a significant sign that it is important to practice. So for some people, maybe even 100,000, normally normal custom is we recite everything 100,000 times. Maybe 100,000 is not necessary, but for some people, even 100,000 is not enough. We require many 100,000 practices. So until we have the real kind of sign that it is important to practice, and then by building this kind of very solid base, and then on the basis of this, then if we practice the very high teachings, then be very successful. Otherwise, that we always tended to go to the highest level of teachings without the background, without any foundations. We try to practice very high teachings. For certain people, may be suitable, but not for everybody. And it is just like for ordinary people, it is just like building a very high-rise building without foundations. So without foundation, if you try to build the high-rise building, then it will collapse. So therefore, it is very important first to build the strong foundation and the stable foundations. So with such, then one can succeed in accomplishing the results. So that's my. So in any case, I'm very happy to be here, and I once again would like to thank you very much for everybody, and I wish you all a complete success in your ordinary life as well as in your spiritual path.